Hello and welcome to episode 10 of With Malice Aforethought UK, a podcast, blog and forum where we discuss all aspects of true crime from here in the UK and across the globe. You can visit our website maliceaforethoughtuk.wixsite.com, where you can join our forum and meet like-minded people and discuss all aspects of true crime. And if you have any stories that you would like me to research and tell, please get in touch and I will be willing to do so. This is episode 10 of series 1 and I wanted to do something a little bit different today, because I was interested in telling a story that has been in the news over the last couple of weeks, but it's quite a short story. So I thought I would also take the time to discuss a catch-up on the story of Star Hobson. Now, you will remember the story of Star. I did tell her tale, absolutely horrendous story of her death about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and that was entitled Who Was There to Catch a Falling Star. If you haven't listened to Star's story, please feel free to go back and listen to it, but I will tell you it's absolutely heartbreaking. But just to recap, bouncer and security guard Savannah Brockhill, aged 28, was jailed for life at Bradford Crown Court in December of 2021 for murdering Star Hobson, the daughter of her partner Frankie Smith, at their home in Keighley in West Yorkshire in September 2020. Star's mother Frankie was sentenced to 8 years for causing or allowing her child's death. And the tragic story came that because Frankie was a very young woman who had an extremely low IQ, she was in a relationship with another woman who was much older than herself, and that woman killed little Star, who was just a toddler. There had been lots of reports to social services about Brockhill, how she was dominating, controlling, and how Star had been seen with bruising and signs of abuse. But each time social services went to investigate, Brockhill managed to convince them that this was bitter people who were jealous of the fact that Frankie was now in a lesbian relationship and no longer interested in the father of Star. And eventually it was caught on CCTV as Brockhill battered the poor child, and within a few hours she was sadly killed. By way of an update on Star Hobson and her mother's sentence, which has been reviewed by the Court of Appeal in the last couple of weeks, the mother of murdered toddler Star Hobson has had her sentence for causing or allowing her daughter's death increased from 8 years to 12 years. The sentence was handed to the mother of murdered toddler Star Hobson was deemed to be too low, the Attorney General had said at the end of 2021. So Attorney General Suella Braverman said this was an unduly lenient sentence and referred it to the Court of Appeal. Miss Braverman, MP, said this is a tragic and extremely upsetting case and my thoughts are with all those who loved Star Hobson. So as you remember, Star died in 2020 after months of neglect, cruelty and injury, and Star's mother, Frankie Smith, aged 20, was sentenced to 8 years at Bradford Crown Court in December 2021 for allowing or causing her death. Smith's partner, Savannah Brockhill, aged 28, was jailed for a minimum of 25 years for murder. However, when the Attorney General announced the referral of Smith's sentence to the Court of Appeal, she confirmed she would not be referring Brockhill's sentence. She said, "I can only challenge a sentence if it is not just lenient, but unduly so, such that the sentencing judge made a gross error or imposed a sentence outside the range of sentences reasonably available in the circumstances of the offence." The threshold is a high one, and the test was not met for Savannah Brockhill. So at that stage, only Frankie's 8-year sentence was referred. So if you want to listen to the full story of Little Star's tragic life, please go back and listen to it, or I will put an link in the episode description to where you can read the full transcript on my blog. As the Court of Appeal hearing took place in March this year, three senior judges considered the case and extended the original term given to Smith by 4 years, extending it to 12 years imprisonment. The original sentencing hearing was told that Starr was caught in the crossfire of Smith's toxic relationship with Brockhill, who she'd met in a bar when Brockhill was working as door security. This abusive relationship between mother and Brockhill resulted in Starr's death at 16 months old from catastrophic blunt force injuries. As the Court of Appeal ruling was delivered by Lady Justice Sharp, she said Smith's original sentence was unduly lenient because it did not reflect the overall seriousness of the offending. She said Smith had shown a deliberate disregard for her daughter's welfare and had failed to take any steps to protect her, treating the toddler with callous indifference, cruelty, and neglect. She said Smith had failed to contact the police or social services, seek medical attention or help from family members, some of whom had reported their concerns to social services after seeing Star with bruises. She went on to say that Star was particularly vulnerable due to her very young age, and Smith had been a neglectful parent who had remained in a relationship with Brockhill for her own selfish gains. Sitting alongside her was Mr. Justice Sweeney and Mr. Justice Jeremy Baker, and she said the sentencing judge in the original trial at Bradford Crown Court had been wrong to hand Smith a lesser sentence based on mitigation. The mitigation that was put forward at the time was that she was a victim of domestic abuse and the fact that she was obviously grieving having lost a young daughter. So just to recap for those who listened to the full episode regarding Star, you'll remember that when her mother, Frankie Smith, was cross-examined and then examined by her lawyer, she did admit that she had been told by Savannah that she had to be firm with her, so she tried to be firm to Star. And she also said that now she watched the videos of how they had treated the child, she felt sick and she should never have spoken to the way she did. When she saw the video of exhausted Star falling off her chair, she did admit that at the time she thought it was funny and she didn't think she was doing anything wrong by videoing it and putting it to music and posting it on the internet. At the time of the Bradford trial, the judge said that Frankie Smith was 17 when she became pregnant with Star, 19 when the terrible events took place, that psychologists had said she had a very low IQ of only 70 and was unusually compliant, seeking approval from those in authority, and that she had been a neglectful parent even before she began her relationship with Savannah. Because of this, the circumstances of Frankie's grief and how she seemed quite upset looking back in retrospect, and the fact that she hadn't caused the death of her child meant that she was given the lesser sentence. However, in the Court of Appeal hearing, Tom Little, QC, who was representing the Attorney General's office, told the court that Frankie Smith had participated in degradation of Star and sadistic behaviour. He said this was not a case where the offender was so racked with guilt that she pleaded guilty at the very first opportunity. There had been a delay in her calling 999 on the day of Little Star's death, and this had not been taken into account by Mrs. Justice Lambert when she was sentencing Frankie Smith in Bradford. Frankie Smith's barrister, Zafar Ali QC, who had also represented her in the original criminal hearing, said this was simply incorrect and that she was remorseful and had broken down several times during the Crown's case in the trial. He said the case had been permeated by domestic violence and instances of physical abuse against Smith by Brockhill, whom he described as a very intimidating character. You will remember that David Fawcett was Star's great-grandfather, and she actually went to live with David and his wife Anita for some time before her death, before Brockhill and Smith retrieved their daughter and stopped the great-grandparents from seeing Little Star. And it was Anita who had made one of the initial reports to social services about Star's death abuse. Well, before the Court of Appeal hearing, Star's great-great-great-grandfather David Fawcett had made a statement where he said it doesn't matter what sentence she gets, it will never bring Star back. He told BBC News he had been visiting Smith in prison and was the only family member who had visited her recently. He said he'd been to see Frankie only the Sunday before the hearing and she was not doing good. Following the increase of the sentence to 12 years, the Attorney General welcomed the judge's decision and said, "This is a tragic and extremely upsetting case, and my thoughts are with all those who loved Star Hobson. This case involved prolonged and multiple cruelty and neglect, deliberate disregard and failure to take any steps to protect or seek assistance for her before and after her murder." I'm sure this probably won't be the last that we hear of Smith or Brockhill, but for the time being, this is the update on the tragic tale of Star Hobson. Today's story is only a short one, and the reason it is only a short one will become quite evident as I tell the tale, but there has been an inquest held earlier this month in Milton Keynes Coroner's Court into the death of City Council Highways Officer Richard Woodcock, aged 38, and he died on the 26th of June 2021. Coroner Tom Osborne ruled that Mr. Woodcock was unlawfully killed, and a post-mortem into his death showed he had suffered traumatic head injuries consistent with repeated blows to the head. So what were the circumstances which arose which led to a horrific murder of a young professional man who was described as a very popular man within Milton Keynes City Council in a residential area in his hometown? And why has there not been a trial? On the morning in question, Richard and his wife were at home in their flat in 2 Mile Ash, Milton Keynes, when a screaming woman, their next door neighbour, and a young child had come rushing to his front door, and according to witnesses, she was clearly fearful for her life and obviously in an agitated state. Richard's wife Kelly called 999, while Richard himself decided to go to the next door flat where the woman lived, as she was extremely distressed that her other child, a 2-year-old, was still in the flat and was in serious danger. Mr. Woodcock went next door to help the child, and when the door opened, he was dragged in and seriously assaulted to the point where he was hit with a 4-kilogram weight, and an inquest found he was killed by being repeatedly hit around the head with a kettlebell. Police from Thames Valley were called to the ongoing disturbance, but they were unable to get in as the door was locked. Firearms officers had responded to the incident to provide urgent support, unarmed. It was in that capacity that they forced their way in and found the body of Mr. Woodcock on the floor and a distressed young child within the address. Also at the property was another man, now known to be Mr. Kelvin Iguani, aged 24, who immediately became aggressive towards the police officers. The officers were all wearing body cams, so a lot of this was caught on body cam footage, and they fired a taser at Iguani, but this was ineffective, and he then managed to barricade himself within the main bedroom. The armed officers then tried to gain entry to that bedroom where the boy child, the two-year-old who Richard had gone in to rescue, could be heard crying, and they could also hear the sounds of an ongoing assault. A police firearm was then discharged once the officers gained entry to the bedroom and first aid was administered. Mr. Iguani suffered gunshot wounds and was pronounced dead at the scene. Hence, no trial into the murder of his neighbour, Mr. Woodcock. Police officers and ambulance staff gave first aid but said Mr. Iguani was declared dead at 10:33 a.m. The IOPC, which is the Independent Office for Police Conduct, opened an investigation into Mr. Iguani's death, as it is within their remit to investigate if someone had direct or indirect contact with the police when or shortly before they were seriously injured or died. However, forces only need to refer cases where contact may have caused or contributed to that death or injury. Speaking at the opening of the inquest into Mr. Iguani's death, David Bannister from the Independent Office for Police Conduct said the IOPC were aware that Thames Valley Police received a 999 call relating to a domestic incident. The officers heard noises from the room and believed that Mr. Iguani was harming the child. The officers forced entry into the room. As officers gained entry, Mr. Iguani moved towards them and one officer fired four shots. He told the hearing that the IOPC had viewed the body-worn video evidence and seen that the armed officers forced entry into the property and immediately came across a dead man. He went on to say they were confronted by Mr. Kelvin Iguani and taser was discharged. This taser discharge was ineffective. Mr. Iguani moved to another room in the address and closed the door. The officers identified that Mr. Iguani was in the room with a young child. The inquest then heard how a post-mortem examination had taken place at Milton Keynes University Hospital, and the medical cause of death for Mr. Woodcock was given as atraumatic head injuries. And an inquest into Mr. Iguani's death will be held at a later date. At the time of the incident, Detective Chief Inspector Stuart Blake from Thames Valley Major Crime Unit said Kelvin Iguani is suspected of the murder of Richard Woodcock and the serious assault of a young male child within the address. And at the time of his death, Milton Keynes Council said Richard was a much valued member of our team. Our thoughts are with his family and loved ones and with his colleagues who will miss him greatly. In his summing up, the coroner had said that the child had suffered serious injuries and spent 2 months in hospital, but had made a full recovery. He further went on to say that Mr. Woodcock was assaulted and his life was lost, but he had saved the life of a two-year-old boy. In a tribute to Richard Woodcock that was made by his family, they said, "We have always been so proud of Richard and everything he has achieved in life. We are devastated that Richard has been taken from us in such circumstances, but we are immensely proud of the sacrifice that he made trying to save a little boy's life. His actions on that Saturday morning were the type of man he was, And that is how we would like him remembered. So I'd like to dedicate this short episode to the heroism of Richard Woodcock, following on from the situation in which Starr's mother, Frankie Smith, has had her sentence increased because she didn't protect a child who was in danger from her partner. Then there is the story of a hero who went in to a home to try and save the life of a child and tragically lost his own. There can be no excuse for someone harming a child. They are so vulnerable, and the thought of laying a hand on a child just fills me with absolute sick and dread. And there are so many stories out there of people who have had responsibility for looking after children and have done the most horrific things and injured those children. But it's nice to know that there is somebody like Richard Woodcock out there who is willing to go and help when somebody's in distress. He could have waited for the police, but who knows what would have happened to that child in the meantime. And we'll never really know the motivation for Kelvin Igwuyani's behaviour because he was shot by the police. However, there will be an inquest into his death, and if I get any further information, I will update my listeners. So thank you for listening to this short episode today. I'll be back again soon with more true crime. Please follow me on Twitter at aforethoughtUK. I do quite often post little tweets about recent crime news. And again, I'll put a link to my website, which is my blog. It is not professional, I've done it myself, so please excuse the content, but I do put the transcripts on there, and there is also a forum on there. So if anybody has any stories they would like to share or any information, I am always happy for you to do so. And if you would like me to tell any of your true crime stories, please let me know and I can research it and tell the stories. And once again, be kind to each other. Today's story is only a short one, and the reason it is only a short one will become quite evident as I tell the tale. But there has been an inquest held earlier this month in Milton Keynes Coroner's Court into the death of City Council Highways Officer Richard Woodcock, aged 38, and he died on the 26th of June 2021. Coroner Tom Osborne ruled that Mr. Woodcock was unlawfully killed, and a post-mortem into his death showed he had suffered traumatic head injuries consistent with repeated blows to the head. So, what were the circumstances which arose which led to a horrific murder of a young professional man who was described as a very popular man within Milton Keynes City Council in a residential area in his hometown? And why has there not been a trial? On the morning in question, Richard and his wife were at home in their flat in 2 Mile Ash, Milton Keynes, when a screaming woman, their next-door neighbour, and a young child had come rushing to his front door. And according to witnesses, she was clearly fearful for her life and obviously in an agitated state. Richard's wife, Kelly, called 999 while Richard himself decided to go to the next door flat where the woman lived, as she was extremely distressed that her other child, a 2-year-old, was still in the flat and was in serious danger. Mr. Woodcock went next door to help the child, and when the door opened, he was dragged in and seriously assaulted to the point where he was hit with a 4-kilogram weight, and an inquest found he was killed by being repeatedly hit around the head with a kettlebell. Police from Thames Valley were called to the ongoing disturbance, but they were unable to get in as the door was locked. Firearms officers had responded to the incident to provide urgent support, unarmed. It was in that capacity that they forced their way in and found the body of Mr. Woodcock on the floor and a distressed young child within the address. Also at the property was another man, now known to be Mr. Kelvin Iguani, aged 24, who immediately became aggressive towards the police officers. The officers were all wearing body cams, so a lot of this was caught on body cam footage, and they fired a taser at Iguani. But this was ineffective, and he then managed to barricade himself within the main bedroom. The armed officers then tried to gain entry to that bedroom where the boy child, the two-year-old who Richard had gone in to rescue, could be heard crying, and they could also hear the sounds of an ongoing assault. A police firearm was then discharged once the officers gained entry to the bedroom and first aid was administered. Mr. Iguani suffered gunshot wounds and was pronounced dead at the scene. Hence, no trial into the murder of his neighbour, Mr. Woodcock. Police officers and ambulance staff gave first aid but said Mr. Iguani was declared dead at 10:33 a.m. The IOPC, which is the Independent Office for Police Conduct, opened an investigation into Mr. Iguani's death, as it is within their remit to investigate if someone had direct or indirect contact with the police when or shortly before they were seriously injured or died. However, forces only need to refer cases where contact may have caused or contributed to that death or injury. Speaking at the opening of the inquest into Mr. Iguani's death, David Bannister from the Independent Office for Police Conduct said the IOPC were aware that Thames Valley Police received a 999 call relating to a domestic incident. The officers heard noises from the room and believed that Mr. Iguani was harming the child. The officers forced entry into the room. As officers gained entry, Mr. Iguani moved towards them and one officer fired four shots. He told the hearing that the IOPC had viewed the body-worn video evidence and seen that the armed officers forced entry into the property and immediately came across a dead man. He went on to say they were confronted by Mr. Kelvin Iguani and taser was discharged. This taser discharge was ineffective. Mr. Iguani moved to another room in the address and closed the door. The officers identified that Mr. Iguani was in the room with a young child. The inquest then heard how a post-mortem examination had taken place at Milton Keynes University Hospital, and the medical cause of death for Mr. Woodcock was given as atraumatic head injuries. And an inquest into Mr. Iguani's death will be held at a later date. At the time of the incident, Detective Chief Inspector Stuart Blake from Thames Valley Major Crime Unit said Kelvin Iguani is suspected of the murder of Richard Woodcock and the serious assault of a young male child within the address. And at the time of his death, Milton Keynes Council said, Richard was a much valued member of our team. Our thoughts are with his family and loved ones and with his colleagues, who will miss him greatly. In his summing up, the coroner had said that the child had suffered serious injuries and spent 2 months in hospital, but had made a full recovery. He further went on to say that Mr. Woodcock was assaulted and his life was lost, but he had saved the life of a 2-year-old boy. In a tribute to Richard Woodcock that was made by his family, they said, "We have always been so proud of Richard and everything he has achieved in life. We are devastated that Richard has been taken from us in such circumstances, but we are immensely proud of the sacrifice that he made trying to save a little boy's life. His actions on that Saturday morning were the type of man he was, and that is how we would like him remembered." So I'd like to dedicate this short episode to the heroism of Richard Woodcock, following on from the situation in which Star's mother, Frankie Smith, has had her sentence increased because she didn't protect a child who was in danger from her partner. Then there is the story of a hero who went into a home to try and save the life of a child and tragically lost his own. There can be no excuse for someone harming a child. They are so vulnerable, and the thought of laying a hand on a child just fills me with absolute sick and dread. And there are so many stories out there of people who have had responsibility for looking after children and have done the most horrific things and injured those children. But it's nice to know that there is somebody like Richard Woodcock out there who is willing to go and help when somebody is in distress. He could have waited for the police, but who knows what would have happened to that child in the meantime. And we'll never really know the motivation for Kelvin Iguiani's behaviour because he was shot by the police. However, there will be an inquest into his death, and if I get any further information, I will update my listeners. So thank you for listening to this short episode today. I'll be back again soon with more true crime. Please follow me on Twitter at aforethoughtuk. I do quite often post little tweets about recent crime news. And again, I'll put a link to my website, which is my blog. It is not professional. I've done it myself. So please excuse the content, but I do put the transcripts on there, and there is also a forum on there. So if anybody has any stories they would like to share or any information, I am always happy for you to do so. And if you would like me to tell any of your true crime stories, please let me know and I can research it and tell the stories. And once again, be kind to each other.